WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. The 2020 presidential campaign has arrived in Virginia with a visit by Democrat Beto O'Rourke. A series of scandals has made it difficult for Virginia's top Democrats to raise money in this election year, and some local Republican candidates for the General Assembly are raising a lot more than their opponents. And if all goes well, a space launch today, Wednesday, from Virginia's Eastern Shore will carry supplies, plus a nano satellite developed by four Virginia universities. But the launch site is vulnerable to the effects of climate change over time. We'll have that story. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, April 17. The 2020 presidential campaign has arrived in Virginia. The first of 18 Democratic candidates campaigned Tuesday in Charlottesville and elsewhere. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain was at the first couple of stops in eastern Virginia and filed this report.
Former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke started in Virginia with a beachside run. He then popped into a diner in Norfolk, where many in the supportive crowd, like Diane Allen, say he's the best person to take on President Donald Trump. Allen was impressed with his failed Senate campaign in Texas.
Trump is getting old, he's nasty and mean, he's cantankerous, and he's afraid of that young man who's so bright and brilliant.
Later, at a brewery in Hampton, O'Rourke spoke about the need to reduce gun violence, increase access to health care, and tackle climate change. He says his campaign will reach out to all voters.
We refuse to write anybody off or take anyone for granted or leave anybody behind or to forget about them in the first place.
Tanya Keller, another Virginia supporter, says he reminds her of Barack Obama.
He was pretty convincing. He nailed the questions. He was very respectful, energetic.
O'Rourke's other campaign stops in Virginia include Henrico, Charlottesville, and Fredericksburg. In Hampton, I'm Mallory Nopain.
O'Rourke appeared at the University of Virginia Tuesday. In 1991, he graduated from Woodbury Forest, an elite all-male boarding school in Madison County. A series of scandals has made it difficult for Virginia's top Democrats to raise money in this election year. Governor Ralph Northam, Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, and Attorney General Mark Herring all posted anemic campaign finance reports on Monday that are far below what their predecessors have raised at similar points in past election cycles. And some Republican candidates hoping to keep control of the General Assembly have raised much more than their Democratic opponents in the first 3 months of the year, according to campaign finance reports. All 140 legislative seats are up for grabs. Virginia is one of just four states with legislative elections this year and the only one where Democrats have a reasonable chance of flipping control of the legislature. But as a result of scandals over images and language in his college yearbook pages and his admission of wearing blackface in the 1980s, Northam has canceled all plans to speak at various commencement ceremonies and has canceled other appearances this month. Well, Governor Northam has announced that 16 high schools around Virginia will get extra money to spend on technical education programs for equipment upgrades and career education. Technical centers receiving the grants in our area include Robert E. Lee High School, soon to be Stanton High School, Blue Ridge Technical Center in Front Royal, Buckingham CTE Center, and Prince Edward High School. Each school will get $37,500. Upgrades will include improved interactive labs and interactive simulators for cybersecurity and geriatrics. The competitive grant program was approved by lawmakers in 2016 with the first round of grants distributed in 2017. Well, this week's tax filing deadline has lots of folks thinking about the tax burden they face. And as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, yesterday, Tuesday, was Tax Freedom Day.
Monday, April 15th may have been tax day, the annual deadline for filing federal income taxes. But Tuesday, April 16th is another milestone, perhaps just as significant, Tax Freedom Day. That means all the money you've earned so far this year has gone to pay federal and state taxes.
33 of those days are spent paying your state taxes in Virginia. The remainder of those 105 days are for your federal taxes.
Jared Walczak at the Tax Foundation, a Washington-based think tank.
It's a lot of time, obviously, to be working to pay for government, and it varies greatly from person to person, but that's how much it is in aggregate that we're working to pay our overall tax liability.
Bill Bergman at the nonprofit group Truth in Accounting says Virginia is actually in pretty good shape compared to other states.
When you look across the 50 states, older states tend to be in worse shape. And Virginia is one of those states that is actually A, an old state, but B, it's also in relatively good shape. And as a consequence of living up to what it tells its citizens is a balanced budget requirement.
But don't let that balanced budget requirement fool you. Virginia has a state debt of $28 billion. That's a per capita state debt of more than $3,000 for every man, woman, and child in the Commonwealth. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, if all goes well, Wednesday afternoon, NASA's Wallops Flight Facility on the Eastern Shore is scheduled to launch a resupply mission to the International Space Station, including a nano satellite developed by four Virginia universities. The launch pad sits at the edge of the Atlantic Ocean. It is a climate change hotspot where rising waters and stronger storms are eroding about 12 feet of shoreline every year. And for NASA, science and persistence are major tools in climate resilience. Virginia Public Radio's Pamela D'Angelo reports.
Not all beaches erode equally. And that's the crux of the problem for NASA's $1.2 billion flight facility built out on a barrier island to reduce risk to people. The beach helps to protect the island. But the thing about barrier islands is they are always moving and changing, and the area where launches take place sits at an erosion hotspot.
So if you're sitting on the beach, you look to your right, all the sand's moving to your right. You look to the left, and all the sand's moving to the left, which means there's no sand coming to where you are, and it's all leaving where you are, in fact. Hence, an erosion hotspot.
Christopher Hine is a coastal geologist at the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, who's been working with NASA to better understand how climate change might affect Wallops Island and the northern islands of Chincoteague and Assateague. Like a detective, he combs through old geologic records, collects sediment cores, and uses ground-penetrating radar to understand the history of the islands.
One of the most dynamic places to watch in the world if you want to see coastal change, Southern Assateague Island. You can actually watch as it has doubled in size in the last 50 years, that southern tip of that island. As it does so, it affects everything around that inlet and Wallops Island to the south.
Assateague's southern tip is often called the wagging dog's tail because of its similar movement. And while it's responsible for Wallops' erosion problem now, Hine says that may change.
As Assateague grows to the south, that hot spot on Wallops shifts to the south. Eventually, we don't know if it's going to be 10 years, 50 years, 100 years, but it will eventually move all the way down to, most likely, to Assawoman Island. One island to the south. And then most of Wallops will be in the shadow of Assateague Island, much the same way that Chincoteague is today.
NASA shares the island with the U.S. Navy and Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport. Along its coast, the Atlantic crashes on a massive 3-mile-long, 14-foot-high seawall near one of the launch pads used for the ISS resupply missions. The beach that used to be here has been moved, part of it just north, mostly by nor'easters. In 2012, just 2 months after another replenishment project armored the shoreline with the seawall and sand, Hurricane Sandy arrived. Paul Bull is Deputy Division Chief Managing Goddard Space Flight Center.
It tore the beach up that we put in, but not a single thing happened on this island. Hurricanes do damage to us, but our biggest problem is nor'easters. They sit here and churn for days on end and just tear the shoreline up.
The latest plan by the Army Corps of Engineers will install breakwaters and mine sand from their growing northern beach after nesting season for birds and sea turtles. In all, the equivalent of about 60,000 dump truck loads of sand will replenish nearly 4 miles of lost beach.
There's a lot of science behind what we do. We're not just going to get sand thrown on the beach. Without Sandy, maybe it'd still look a little better, but it still would have been diminished. It's just over time, nature takes its course.
As sea levels rise and storms become more frequent and stronger, Bull expects the Corps will return in 5 to 7 years to once again put back the sand. Meantime, Hine will spend the next 3 years studying the area to provide a critical planning and management tool for the flight facility and spaceport. From NASA Wallops Flight Facility, I'm Pamela D'Angelo.
That's the podcast for this Wednesday. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoy your day.